I'm Jennifer Moore, and today I'm talking with Genevieve Gallant, who is part of the Toronto Catholic Worker Community and has been active with the School of the Americas Watch in Canada. And I wondered if you could just begin by giving me just a little bit of background to your involvement and what the Catholic Worker Community is about.
Sure. So I live in a house with five young people that is a Catholic Worker house. Our house is under the name of Magdalen House. And we're a number of young people who work in activism and doing resistance work. And we also do a lot of education with high school students. And we live together in an intentional community, share our lives together, and we work on projects. And the School of the Americas Watch is one of, I guess, our larger projects. In fact, our house kind of getting together came out of our long van ride 3 years ago going down to the protest in Georgia.
Okay. Maybe just for listeners' interest, you can give us some of the basics of the School of the Americas, some of its background.
Sure. So it's a U.S.-funded military base. It's in Fort Benning, Georgia, which is in Columbus, Georgia, close to about 2 hours from Atlanta. And it's a military base that essentially trains soldiers from Latin America in various U.S. standards of military procedures, kind of counterinsurgency techniques like torture methods, interrogation, that sort of thing. And what we found out is that the graduates from this program have been those who have perpetuated some of the horrible massacres in Latin America, and that these soldiers have been directly targeting union leaders, peace activists, religious peoples, and indigenous communities in various Latin American countries. So there's been a very clear connection through those soldiers and the School of the Americas and the U.S. support for that sort of behavior. And so the movement has really been trying to bring awareness to the public generally about the School of Americas and to try to close that down and let the U.S. know that that's totally unacceptable and not in our name. Is that going to be allowed to continue? It's been going on for about 12 years, the protests at the base in annually in November. And that was, it's November 16th, and that's the anniversary of the massacre of six Jesuits priests who were doing peace work and their housekeeper and her daughter. So that's where that event has come out of.
Okay. Now, my understanding is that perhaps, was it last year that the U.S. did something like change the name of the school, maybe tried to do things to clean up its image. Mm-hmm. What actually did it do, and like what's on paper compared to perhaps what has happened?
Yeah. What they said is that they've closed down the School of the Americas and they've replaced it with the Western Hemispheric Institute for Defense and Cooperation. And that's really just been a change of name to, I think, to try to foil the public and be able to say the School of the Americas is closed down. But really, it's just taken over for the work of the School of the Americas. The other thing is they've developed a democracy class that they've brought in to try to convince people that they're taking human rights seriously. But what's been shown is that the soldiers have not been taking that class or not required to. There's just been literally a handful of students have taken that, and there obviously hasn't been much of a change from that class, from the behaviors.
Right. How transparent are the workings of the school? Like, how easy is it to find out, you know, who's taking what class and how things are?
Yeah, it's been fairly transparent, and that's how the movement has been able to point so clearly to the results from the soldiers. So through the Freedom of Information Act, they've had lists of soldiers who have taken classes or who have trained at that base, and then in the same way investigating the massacres and the like in Latin America have gotten a hold of those names and been able to draw the connection. We've also had access to the manuals that the school has used, and those things are accessible through the School of the Americas Watch website.
Okay.
So that activists can have a look for themselves.
Just in terms of how large is the school? How many people is this training on a yearly basis?
I am not sure what the numbers are right now. It's part of a larger base, but I think it really depends on what's going on. Like, for right now, there's a lot of Colombian soldiers being trained there, when NAFTA went through, that all of a sudden it was tons of Mexican soldiers came up. So it really kind of varied according to what the U.S. interests were in Latin American countries. So at times there's a lot more soldiers than others.
Right. Now, can you tell me a little bit about the annual demonstrations and what happens at those?
Mm-hmm. So it's a fairly huge gathering that takes place over a weekend, and usually there's between 10 and 15,000 people coming to participate in the rallies. And they bring in lots of, we usually have a huge rally on the Saturday and bring in this various speakers from Latin American countries, speakers just talking about how this school is a part of the whole general trend of neoliberal globalization. Musicians, there's been a lot of U.S. musicians that have come down and played and showed their support. So it's been a real gathering on the Saturday and an opportunity for people to network with other peace groups and some religious communities and young people. And then on the Sunday is when they have the actual acts of civil disobedience. And what happens is it takes on a form of a funeral procession, and it's a vigil for the victims of the soldiers of the School of the Americas. And what's been done is there's been a speaker who's cantered off the names of the victims of the school, and as a group we respond presente, say that we are present for those people and speaking up for their deaths and disappearances. So everybody participates at 10 or 15,000, and then some people decide to take it a step further and to do civil disobedience and to march onto the base. And again, that continues with the vigil atmosphere and the funeral procession, and they proceed onto the base, which is a federal criminal trespass charge, and to walk onto the base and deliver a message to the school and to the soldiers there that they're representing these victims and want it closed down.
Right. So these demonstrations do have strong support from people in Latin America then as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's becoming more and more broad based, which is really great. So we have lots of people coming out.
Right. What have been the implications of September 11th on the peace movement, there in the States, but also from your position as a Canadian?
I think in some ways it's really given us as activists an opportunity to speak stronger in some ways. Like with the events of September 11th, it becomes, for me myself anyways, it becomes much more clearer that this peace work has to continue. And whereas the media or the general public has been, well, don't go down to the States, it's too dangerous at this time, like now is not the time to protest, that sort of thing. But really it's just encouraged me and most of my peers to continue our work, that now is the time more than ever to speak out for peace and for nonviolence.
Mm-hmm. Did you see any differences between this year's demonstration and previous ones you've been to?
Yeah, the numbers were less this year, and that was hard. And I think the School of the Americas Watch, the organization, also suffered a number of setbacks trying to organize. They really came up with problems getting permits and the courts getting involved, and just locally in Atlanta, in Georgia, they had a lot of difficulty setting it up. So I think that was hard on everyone's spirits to be trying to not let this continue. But on the other hand, the people that I met there, like, were their voices were so much stronger and so much more sure about why they were there.
Mm. Was there also a concern about increased security around the protest and what implications that might have for the individuals that got themselves involved in it?
Yeah, there was a lot of talk. You know, it was a bit scary, like we just weren't sure. And with what's gone on in Quebec City and a lot of the anti-globalization protests and the reaction of the police have really, you know, it makes it harder for us to resist when you're coming up against riot squads and that sort of thing. But on the other hand, this movement is so grounded in nonviolence that we weren't that afraid that the state would be violent themselves, because for 12 years it's been grounded in nonviolence and there has never been an act of violence at the protests, ever. And so we felt really secure in that way, knowing that the state would, you know, can't respond with violence to nonviolence when when we're making such a clear statement about our protest, but being nonviolent in that way.
Sure. Now, I know that same weekend there was peace marches and protests in Ottawa,
mm-hmm.
and there was quite a bit of, I know, guard dogs and people getting bitten and riot police and such. Was there a security presence at the School of the Americas protest?
Yeah, there was a bit more presence in terms of the state side.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we just deal with the federal military, the federal police, so there was more presence on the state side, but... Not much more than, like, everyone was still very peaceful and respectful.
Mm.
And on the federal base, there was no more than usual. There were no riots, no gear, nothing like that. Just the everyday military police.
Okay, and I'm just wondering too, like, how has this empowered the peace movement in terms of making the cause even more sure, in that we've heard the U.S. say, you know, you're either with us or against us. This is a war on terrorism. What sort of connection does the School of the Americas Watch make between the School of the Americas and state-led terrorism?
Mm-hmm. It's the biggest connection. This is just one school that's specific to Latin America, but... The U.S. military facilities and the way that they've interfered in various countries around the world and provided military support, this is just one example. And we're out there to close the School of the Americas, but really what we're out there is to end the military presence of the U.S. around the world and to end the terrorism that's bred by the U.S.'s interference and military presence around the world. So I felt so strong this year, especially knowing that there were people in Ottawa talking truth to what the World Bank and the IMF does, and people around the world doing peace marches, speaking truth to what the U.S. has done and the results of it. So it's been really great. I think this year is an opportunity to piece what the School of the Americas is in the larger picture.
You talked about awareness building, that this was one of the big things that the School of the Americas Watch was about.
Mm-hmm.
And how have you seen sort of the reactions of other people that are just, you know, passersby or people that you end up talking to about this? What has the reaction been, and have you seen a shift in public reaction since September 11th as well? Do people want to hear about it or mm-hmm. really not want to hear about it?
Yeah, no, I think people do want to hear about it because nobody has heard of the School of the Americas. I mean, it's a lot better now, but it's so hidden. But on the other hand, it's so clear of the work that they do. And I think the public wants to know about these schools so they can understand where September 11th came from.
Mm-hmm.
And how is the people, you know, they're hearing the other side of the story, like the U.S. is involved in different countries, but maybe in the media they're not hearing those stories. So they really do want more information to see the larger picture of September 11th. So people have been very responsive to learning about the school and I think just interested in gathering information so they can make judgments themselves about what's been going on since September 11th.
Right. Well, I just want to thank you for having this interview with me on short notice.
No problem.
And do you have any final comments or anything else you want to mention that I might not have touched on?
I just want to say that what's one of the amazing things about the work is in Georgia is the presence of nonviolence and a commitment of 10 to 15,000 people towards having nonviolent and peaceful protest, and the importance of stating that publicly so that the military or the state police who are involved hear that and recognize the importance, because I think sometimes there's not very good dialogue between the protesters and the police as to why they're there and whether they plan on being peaceful and that sort of thing. And I would really promote that dialogue and really the importance of saying that I'm here peaceful and I'm here peacefully and I will continue to be peacefully here until change is made. And I think one of the most powerful things for me when we're in Georgia is those opportunities to witness to the U.S. Army and to the state police that, you know, we're willing to go to the streets and tell our story and tell our side about how we want this finished. So just promote that dialogue.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
No problem.